You're listening to Changing Minds, Transformative Talks for Healthcare Improvement. Grab a coffee or tea and join our team as we chat with leaders in the academic detailing space. For more information on academic detailing, visit us at narcat.org.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Changing Minds podcast, where we talk about the incredible quality improvement strategy known as academic detailing, where clinical outreach education really moves the needle for frontline clinicians to make sure they have the supports, the up-to-date best evidence, and the tools that they need to provide the best care for their patients, especially vulnerable patients. And I'm so happy to say that our special guest today is Paul Finikos from Alosa Health. He is the chief operating officer in Alosa, who is kind of all over the states, but is housed in Boston and has projects really across the East Coast, a lot in Pennsylvania. So we're going to hear a little bit more about Alosa, why they're terrific, what kind of work they're doing, and talk a little bit more about this strategy and why it's so important. So, hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey, Bevan, how are you? Thanks for having me here.
I'm doing great. I am always happy to see you and hear your voice. We go way back. So Paul and I used to work in the same building in downtown Boston before the pandemic. So I do miss seeing you on the daily, Paul. But it's great to reconnect here on the podcast. And how long have you been at the helm over at Alosa at this point?
Well, it's closing in on 10 years, Bevan.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, double digits. That's awesome. That's awesome. What have you seen as the biggest growth point for Alosa over the span of that 10 years, if you could kind of point to something specific that you've seen that you're proud of in terms of the growth of the team, the projects, anything there?
Yeah, really proud of a lot of different things. But if I had to narrow it down to really three, it'd be one, the quality of the educators we've been able to work with and train from, you know, to the excellent team at the VA, to Indian Health Services, to our own team here at Alosa. Just really great people that have been focused on trying to make a change and just do things a little bit better. That's been fantastic. The second part is really the breadth of chronic diseases that we've been able to touch on and use academic detailing to really improve the care of patients, no matter where they are. Those are really the two things I'd hit on.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And I've seen your colleagues, your team grow exponentially and just see, you know, you really have a great crew that you get to work with that all are creative and thoughtful and really dedicated. And in terms of the breadth of chronic disease, what are some of the ones, some of the chronic diseases that have been sort of newer in the repertoire of evidence reviews and detailing aids that you all have put together and gotten into the field?
Well, that's a great question too. It's not a new disease, but osteoporosis, for instance, is something that's been, you know, very much neglected over the last few years for a variety of reasons. And that's become, you know, really an important topic. The second is Alzheimer's disease or related dementias. It's growing across the United States. There's a huge need to take care of older adults that that may develop this. And there's new drugs to treat it. And how do you use them? And how do you use them effectively and cost effectively? And who should get them and who shouldn't get them? So there's a lot of work to be done there. And then there's really what I would call the bread and butter of healthcare, which really don't go out of style. And those are things like diabetes, heart failure, respiratory disease, all things that are continuing to get new information about. And it's really difficult to stay up to date unless you're, you know, getting some type of, you know, concise information on a regular basis. And obviously that's what we do here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's academic detailing in a nutshell is you've got these frontline providers who they're stressed. You know, you never really hear from a frontline provider that they've got time to breathe or kick their feet up. You know, they're usually running behind. They've got a million things to think about, from the patient that's right in front of them to the charting they need to do and the admin that they need to do. And so academic detailers really bridge that gap between new evidence-based medicine and recommendations and guidelines that need to be in the hands of those frontline providers who don't have the time to read all of the literature, to extract all of, you know, the best information, and then to transform it into usable tools. And that's something that, you know, I know you at Alosa and your team do so beautifully. For those listening, if you want to check out Alosa's website, alosahealth.org, is that correct?
Yes.
alosahealth.org, beautiful evidence review documents, beautiful detailing aids, just really making complex information into something easy to digest, easy to apply, and really cutting through the noise and getting right to that signal of what information is most important. So thanks for giving us a little bit of info about sort of where you've always concentrated your efforts on those chronic diseases that never seem to really go away, of course, but can be controlled and cared for, you know, more thoughtfully, you know, and keep people healthier longer. I'm interested in the osteoporosis piece. What do you think about, and I know osteoporosis affects people across gender, but what do you think has really kind of made osteoporosis not as often in the spotlight as other diseases? I certainly am biased in thinking, and I know that there is evidence that proves that, you know, women's diseases that are often associated with women's health are often neglected or don't get quite as much attention. What are some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly true. The second part too is a lot of the medications now are generic. So there's less of a push or a promotional piece from the pharmaceutical industry around that particular disease. And therefore, without, you know, to be honest with you, without some of their, you know, push, it doesn't get that name recognition or the attention that it richly deserves. So where are they to fill in that gap, really, and bring it back to the forefront of an important piece? Because, you know, prevention, again, preventing a hip fracture or a spinal fracture is really, really a long-term benefit for patients. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And prevention is so key. You know, there's caring for chronic diseases. There's preventing diseases from taking off in the first place. I'm curious about the work you've done with older adults as an organization. That has really just been such an incredible strength, especially through the PACE contract, the pharmaceutical assistance contract for the elderly. And the work that you all have done over many years since you all were founded in the early aughts, but especially in the past 10 years, has just been really incredible. And I know that recently, you and Dominic Trombetta, who is a wonderful academic detailer, a wonderful clinical outreach educator, came to speak at our annual summit earlier this summer, and talking about some of the complexities and some of the opportunities in detailing clinicians about dementia and Alzheimer's. Can you speak a little to what some of the essence of that campaign focused on, and a little bit about how some of the key messaging also focused on how to bring in caregivers for those patients?
Yeah, exactly. Bevan, you know, one of the pieces we always try to focus on is the prevention piece. That's an important part. You know, what actually can you do to impact patients, you know, downstream about, you know, disease prevention? And part of that module focuses on that. First and foremost, mostly lifestyle changes, controlling blood pressure, exercise, diet, all those things that are, you know, really important. And then the second component was screening for patients and looking for reversible causes of dementia and making sure that you align the right diagnosis before you think about therapies and what to do from there. And then we have had some progress with therapies, but they're not as sound as we'd like, really. And so, you know, making sure you pick the right choice for the right patient, because there are some things to consider when you are dealing with older adults in particular, getting them to the doctor's offices and making sure that they're safe in that piece as well, because they might be driving, or how do you get there? And sometimes it's just a risk of getting into a car for an older adult. Unfortunately, there's
Sure.
falls and things like that to consider. And you don't want to do any unnecessary tests that you don't need to do. And then also one of the pieces we really wanted to focus on with is medications that actually cause some cognitive impairment. And what do you do and use, alternatives so that you might not unwillingly or unknowingly be causing a problem with some medications. So to either find an alternate choice, or in some cases, maybe just discontinuing. And then what we did notice, most importantly, were the caregiver resources for patients, and also aligning them to local resources that are inexpensive or low cost. And that was something that was incredibly valuable to prescribers and their offices and others, and obviously families. It's a tough disease. It progresses, and to do that in a way that's with dignity for older adults, and considers their own planning and
And their agency, having them be, a part of their own planning.
And making sure you get that right. You make sure you have a healthcare proxy, and all those resources are available to patients, and oftentimes at a low cost. And we're trying to connect the offices, the caregivers, and the patients together, so that you have a, as a person progresses, you can have a transition for them that makes best sense for them.
That's fantastic, and I really want to focus in on the word connect, right? So you, as a detailer, I know you're not a detailer yourself, although you would be a fantastic one. That detailers really serve as this conduit, this bridge, this connecting force. If detailing were just about, hey, I need to check and make sure I'm looking at the right set of guidelines, or I need to check and look at exactly what the best drug in this situation would be, that's where something like UpToDate online can be beneficial. But caring for patients with complex needs, such as older adults who may be diagnosed with dementia, with Alzheimer's, there is just such a need to be thoughtful and to have human-to-human connection when building that support system for those patients. And to consider that clinicians need those support systems as well when they're caring for high need patients. I also really loved what you had to say about not using the same approach with each patient, that every patient needs their own unique care plan. And I also loved what you had to say about dignity, right? So these are folks that are very much near end of life, oftentimes, although of course we know sometimes early onset can occur. But these are folks who really need to be cared for with dignity, really thoughtfully, and really have a care team on their side that are all connected. And so I was really impressed with your campaign's thoughtfulness in all of your key messaging, but in particular, thinking about what caregivers need. So that was really fantastic to hear about. And for those of you listening, you can check out that presentation from our summit this year, and see what Dominic and Paul had to say. Look at their resources, look at some of the results from this campaign at narcat.org under our events tab. Paul, we're going to wrap up in just a minute. I had a question for you. We who are involved in the realm of detailing, we get it right away because we've been doing this for a while. But what would you say is the essence of detailing for folks who maybe have never heard of it, who we want to kind of see if we can allow them or help them to understand it quickly without, a 3-minute elevator pitch? What would you say is sort of the essence of why detailing is fantastic and where you'd like to see it go as well?
Well, I think it's fantastic for a whole bunch of reasons. So I could have like an hour time, an hour of my time to hit on that. But really, what you're doing is you're closing a knowledge gap, and then you're, putting in place, in a way, the best practices that will actually make a difference in people's lives. And that's the, I think, the best part of detailing that I can think of. And sometimes it's high science, and sometimes it's not. It's more about being able to provide a service, like we just spoke about, with regards to connecting people to, a low cost or no cost alternative to something. And those things are really critical. I've never met a person that wakes up in the morning and says, "Really, I want to do a bad job today." Oh, I really want to do something, wrong. That never happens. But sometimes, without the right information, some bad things can happen. And we're the ambassador, that brings the right information or right resource to people.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yes, no clinician wants to do poorly. They want to do their absolute best, but they can only do their best if they have everything that they need. And so, detailing, filling that knowledge gap, that support gap. Fantastic. Where would you like to see the field go if you could fast forward 10 years? And you can also talk about where you'd like to see ELOSA go if that is if that feels easier.
Well, they're kind of the same, they're really the same. I would like to see it continue to grow and be used as a wider resource to change behavior. We know it works, and I would hope more people would do it and invest in it and take the time to think about it as a strategy to change things for the better.
Absolutely. It's really important to I know in our work at NARCAD and your work at ELOSA to continue to raise visibility for this quality improvement strategy because it's not a household known term, right? And so it's exciting that we get to share this sort of niche area and get it more visibility and get it more attention and really share our successes. So for those of you listening at home, if you want to see what success looks like, again, I very much encourage you to check out elosahealth.org. Fantastic resources, really fantastic team. And please reach out to us here at narcad.org if you have any questions, or reach out directly to Paul if you want to follow up and meet the man himself or learn more. We are both organizations that care so much about this approach and continue to hope that the work we do has the impact that we want it to have on the patients who need it the most. So thank you so much for spending some time with me this afternoon, Paul, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bevan. Appreciate you having me on.